Great day in the afternoon, and welcome worldwide listeners to Let's Do It Radio Sunday Service, sponsored by none other than doitallinthemall.com, owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier out of Yakima, Washington. Today is Sunday, April 25th, 2021. I'm your hostess for the day, Miss Inez, owner and fashion designer of Anais Falcou Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide, where all of our entrepreneurs can be found on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com under the client section, as well as their website, where you can securely shop online 24/7 for anything you need, as well as great listening entertainment wherever you may be. Jeremiah 32:39, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them an heart of flesh. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We'll hear a song from Reverend Ronnie Marshall's album, Praise God. If God's got a blessing for you, because I know that Reverend Ronnie's got blessings for all of us in store. So let me put this song on for you as you listen and get ready for today's service. sounded like the Bobby Zubin of gospel. Go ahead, Reverend.
Wow.
I had to say that.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And now after I said that, we are going to have a prayer by Reverend Marshall and then another song. We'll bless another song from his Praise God album. Go ahead with prayer, Reverend Ronnie Marshall.
Well, thank you for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And we ask that you have mercy upon all of those that are ailing with different illness around this country in the name of Jesus. And especially for Sister Fraser, Lord, we need her. We need her in her full capacity to operate in this great venue in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you bless Sister Inez and all of the participants that are there, making everything happen on Do It In, Do It Again, Do It All in the Mall. And now we ask a special blessing on the brokenhearted, those that have lost loved ones to violence and to COVID and to the murders and all of the things that are going on. We ask that you extend a little extra joy to them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if thou would bind all the powers of darkness and loose all the powers of heaven, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus made me whole. Not half, but he made me whole.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is sure.
Yes, sir. Made you whole. For those of you who have not heard of Reverend Ronnie Marshall, he is the assistant pastor at Virginia Baptist Church in Wrightsville, Arkansas. For the last 8 years, he is a soft-spoken man who has been a national ambassador for Christ for years. He has been to my hometown and spoke down the street where I attended church in Spokane, Washington. So he's been somewhere everywhere. Not everywhere, but everywhere. I said everywhere. Reverend Marshall is a singer, songwriter, guitar player, recording artist, and as he told me earlier on the break, a TV producer as well, with a current record entitled Praise God album and also the Praying Man album. So he's got some songs out there. So y'all need to go to YouTube and listen to these songs now. Help a brother out. Not just a sister, but a brother out as well. So the songs you're hearing today are from the Praise God album. And after we hear another one of the selections from this album, we are going to be blessed with the words from Reverend Ronnie Marshall. The song I'll be playing is He's Real in My Soul.
You gotta believe in something. Just to be some man. And life, won't you believe in Jesus? He's the best thing you could ever find. He's so real in my soul. So real in my soul, real in my soul, real in my soul, so real. and they never, never, never know. But one day that I am so for sure, Jesus, you will die, die, die in my soul. You so really are. When you're feeling down at all, Jesus, he will come in and wash away all your down. And if you feel so, so blue, Jesus, he'll come in with love and make it all right. So real, hallelujah, so real.
That's the kind of music my daddy and his uncle, my uncles would love to listen to. So I'm going to call Reverend Ronnie Marshall the Bobby Blue Band of gospel in my eyes. So go ahead and bring us the word, Reverend Ronnie Marshall.
God bless you. God bless you. And God bless the listeners and to all of those that are in radio land, audio land.
Yes.
God bless you today. And we have he impressed upon me to share with you this passage of scripture out of Acts, out of the book of Acts. And it's Acts chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 32, and we'll go as the Lord shall lead us. That's Acts, New Testament, Acts the 4th chapter. We'll begin at the 32nd verse, and then we'll go as the Lord shall lead us. And I want to give a special shout-out to Virginia Baptist Church in Riceville, Arkansas. It's my home church. It's why I serve at and there this morning. And, you know, we're going through a growing period of experiences there. Our pastor moved into the new world where Jesus and God is. Last week, and with his home going and everything, it's all over, and he's there, and his remains have been placed in the dust, and we're moving forward with a test tackling fortitude. We want to tackle the tests that the Lord has set before us with a knowing that he will make us conquerors and more than conquerors, and we're grateful for that on today. Now, Acts chapter 4 and the 32nd verse. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands, of houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Josiah, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Constellation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to use for a subject this evening, this very gorgeous evening. The believers are one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. It's so important that we understand the power of unity and how God favors unity and how God watch unity. Now, in Genesis, God watched unity when Nimrod, the grandson of Noah, and the children were building the tower to Baal. Because they had so much unity, they were beginning to accomplish invading the heavens. And God looked at them and he saw that. He told the Godhead spiritual arrangement. He said, now I must go down and confuse their language. Because if they keep on into this unity that they got building, this tower, they're going to come on over into heaven. So the Bible says the Lord went down and he confused their language because their unity was so strong. My point is the unity that Nimrod, who was a great hunter back in those days, he killed the big old humongous beast that roamed the earth. Nimrod was the man that killed them. So he had a reputation all over the world as a great hunter. Well, the unity that Nimrod and Queen Samaris put into the people's mind, their unity was so strong until they was about to invade heaven. Unity. I want y'all to just keep that in mind. Then, if you go on farther, unity, togetherness, you can always build. When people have togetherness, they can do things that they wouldn't normally be able to do single-handed. Even the children of Israel leaving Egypt, the Hebrew children leaving the Egyptians, the unification of them listening to Moses, listening to God. They had unity when Moses told them to line up certain places, gather up certain things. The unity in their hearts and in their minds brought them out of Egypt with an insurmountable amount of wealth. They had gold the Egyptian had given them. They had all kinds of things. They had to give it to them because God had proved himself to say, I am the creator of these people, and I want them to leave Egypt, not only leave Egypt, but leave Egypt with some liquidity. I want them to leave with stability and availability. Give them gold. Give them straw. Give them everything that they need for the journey. The unity of them listening to Moses. One heart, one soul in mind. They were so ready to get out of there until they was together and they left Egypt. And not only did they leave Egypt, they went on to the promised land, Canaan, with unity.
Okay.
Now, let's bring it home a little more. Here it is today, well, or the history rather. Take the African-American people of color. Let me just use that. How they came from the Ivory Coast. In the middle passage, the Atlantic, in a ship, and they were all chained. They had so much unity, even though they spoke different languages, they came to the point of understanding what was going on. And in so doing, the unification was kind of put at jeopardy there because you had different tribals who spoke different languages. But they were all the same color. But they couldn't understand each other. And then that's what caused the entanglement, the confusion. Well, here today, and I'm speaking for the church, Christendom, and to those that want to be churched and to those that don't understand church, I'm speaking to you today. If we unify as a people, then we can have an uprise. But if there be no unity, there will not be no uprise. There will only be decay, scholar, and desolation, as we are visibly seeing now. Well, somebody say, well, what can you do? These people have been educated. They have been modulated. They've been homogenized, and they've been programmed in their head. They need to take a flight away from their color and be something that they are not even created to be. So this amount of confusion has caused a deunification. Now, everybody hop on. They say, well, if they all got an education, but there's so many millions of people who have invested in education. But now let's look at the word education. The word education is to strengthen, to bring out one's faculties intellectually, physically, and morally, and show him or her their manifold capacities in which they are able to operate in. Now, even for education to work for so great amount of people, then someone has to teach them what it means. And teach them how togetherness with knowledge, education, well, it's got to be more than one person, because notice it says to strengthen. Somebody got to be doing the information that strengthened people. To show the manifold, somebody got to show them. Well, it takes a heart of love to distribute unification. Mm-hmm. It takes someone that's into love, into growing, into planting, and into watering, into nurturing. It takes someone like that to distribute unification. You just can't go to someone in a sorority who has a mind of self-centeredness to distribute unity, because they're distributed in the wrong way. What am I talking about? Unity is when people are together. It's a accord. 2-3 people, 4-5 million people, but they're all thinking the same identical thing. And how do they come to that point? When they have the documentation that's true and that can be depended upon of its truth. It took 1,500 years to write 66 books of the Bible. But the writers were scribes were the first writers, and the Aramaic, Hebrew and Aramaic was the first language of the Bible, but there were four different men who came with the same ideal, had unity in their ideal to change the translation each time to make it suitable for us to understand the word of God. Well, it took unity in the writers, Tyndale, Wycliffe, and a few more of the writers. King James was the fourth writer to write it in English so that we could interpretate the different versions. But unity was in the minds of the writers for the good of the mass of the people. Unity. Every time there's unity, there will be a great uprise. Now, here it is with all of these people sailing through the middle passage of the Atlantic coming from the Ivory Coast, chained, speaking different languages. But when they got to their destination in America, they had to come together. Mm-hmm. And how did they come together? They came together out of disparity. They came together out of the getting on the plantation, listening to the English of the Western Hemisphere, changing the dialect, changing their diction. They had to grow into this. So when one or two began to grow into it, they spread it among themselves. That's why when Harriet Tubman was born and was able to maturely see what was going on, she started a unity revolt to change the situation. So she put what she learned in the minds of the other people. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a problem today with us. The people that are learned people, they instead of them transferring the knowledge, they want to bring about separatism. Okay, you ain't where I am. You ain't on my level. You don't have my access. You don't have my profit. You don't have my pinnacle of success. So you're not equal with me. You see, when people start being debased and separatism starts, it's hammering. But then people lose hope. They lose confidence.
Right.
They start looking at themselves as no value. And when that happens, a nation of people fall down and start hurting themselves. Now, isn't that what's going on right here today? We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves because of no unity. And what am I saying? Nobody is talking to the young people. They say, well, you can't get through to them. Well, you can't just say it one day and expect for them to catch it if they ain't never learned it before. You've got You got to repeat this thing constantly. Remember what God told us? He said, make sure that you pass on my theophanies, my miracles, and the works that I've done for you. Make sure you pass it on to the generation and the next generation and the next generation. Make sure that none of them forget about God and what he's done and his purpose and what he created us to be. But everybody stops passing God along and the love of God and the unity of God, and they start operating in separatism because of monetary status. And what a shame. See, when you do that, when you pinnacleize and have superiority above everybody else, and you don't think much of the people that put you in the superior position, you forget about your mission. You only hyped on the crowd cheering your name, and you only hyped of the money basket coming in where you could see treasures for you and yours, and that's it and no more. Well, God don't want that. He wants us to unify that we might be the city that sit up on the hill that cannot be hid. But you can't be the city up on the hill that cannot be hid. If you're broken, if the whole nation is broken, how are you going to be anything but a broken nation? And a broken nation is not good for nothing but scholar, decay, and desolation, because there's no leadership. There's no brilliant way of following instruction to make things happen as they should be. Well, here we've ignored something so badly, and so it's a shame that we have. But we've ignored the system that God put in place for the people of God. For all them people, Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, and we the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, he put this in place for us, this system right here. And it reads, and the multitudes of the believer were one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostle wisdom, rescuing of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I like this verse right here. With unity, y'all listen carefully. With unity, one heart and one soul, same frame of mind, with unity, neither was there any among them that liked. It wasn't no poor people among those people. And these was all God people. Because as many as had 4, 5, 6 houses and lots of land, they took a portion of what they had to see to it that the rest of the people didn't suffer. Because they had an unselfish love. In this passage of Scripture, these verses that I read to you, these people were operating with an unselfish love because they truly had been changed when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they accepted it. And they allowed the apostles to pray on them and laying hands on them, and they received a different experience mentally from their Creator. See, we got to seek that experience different from what we got in the world. We got to have that experience with God, where he opened the eyes of our understanding and his spirit that he so desired when he created us to actually operate through our bodies. Now, what are you saying? Okay, I'll tell you. The body is the instrument of expression. The body is the instrument of expression. And the body will do nothing unless the mind tell it to do it. Amen?
Right.
And if our minds are leading our bodies in a way that's presentable and acceptable unto God, then God's spirit, that's when God said create the world, the lights, the moon, the stars, the sun, people, the earth, and herbs, and every herb-bearing seed, fowls of the air, the whales in the sea. When God said, I want these things to come forth, his spirit was the one that went out and actually did the work. And God looked at the accompaniment of his spirit. Now, what do God's spirit that creates the earth, what an effect does it have to do with us who are in this Christian body today that we are here? Well, that spirit, it's the same spirit that Jesus made confirmation when he was leaving. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a spirit that will lead thee and guide thee in all truth. We've educated ourselves, but not to God. We've educated ourselves to human beings, creatures like ourselves. We're measuring ourselves by creatures that have failed like we have failed. But here's an opportunity.
Okay.
Here's an opportunity now for us to come away from the falling stage, the condescending stage, and astral to the ascension. What is the ascension? The ascension is the spirit ramification that created all things, want to speak through us, want to give guidance to us to new horizons, new spiritual places of knowledge, new spiritual places of wealth, new spiritual places of healing, new spiritual places of better results all the way around, from the children to the elders. But unification has to be brought on the forefront. That needs to be the conversation for the children of God. Let's unify. I don't want to kill. I want to build. I don't want to kill. I want to build. It's too easy to pick up a gun and kill somebody. Let's build. Let's learn how to put our energy into building. Because if we all take some of what we have, we can do something with that. Now, I can have $25,000. I mean, if you could have $25,000, Sharon could have $25,000. Look, you can do so much with your $25,000. I can do so much with my $25,000. Sharon can do so much with her $25,000. Okay. But if we put our $25,000 together, then we can do a greater thing than we can apart. Amen? Notice here in this passage of scripture, he said those that had houses and land, they didn't sell everything that they had, but they took a portion of it, and they put it together so that the other part of the body could bring itself up to par, and then that when they get up to par, they could make sure the other part of the body get up to par with money, with learnings, with knowledge, with information, with how to do things that normally wouldn't be done if unity is not there. See when you operate in separatism and agnosticism, then you want to operate in a plane outside of God. Well, we know what happens when you operate outside of God. You're going to do the thing that calls for failure. Amen. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care how good your flesh give up to it because it's presented in a way that you ain't heard it presented before. But if you go outside of God's plan, then falling is on the agenda. It's clear. So he tells us here. He tells us here the multitude of them that believe. Now, the people that believe are the people that you see speaking in tongues, calling on the name of Jesus, laying hands, and those that are out in the vineyard, those that are in the churches. These are the people of God. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob right here today. Now, what happened?
All right.
All of these followers of God have gotten to the point there's no power among them far as economics. No power among them really for his knowledge being distributed. There's no power of them building anything. Why? Because they stopped the creation of God. They stopped the plan that God said. God had wishes when he created us. He had wishes
when he created us. That's right.
He created us to take on his holy, perfect, and righteous character. Now, if you take on God character and your body is moved by the Spirit of God, don't you know everything that you go into is going to be excellent? It's going to be a win-win-win situation. Now, if one person thinks that the Spirit of God moves them in the right way, how about a whole multitude of people, a whole nation of people operating under the auspices of God's love, his undying love, his unself-centered love? How about a lot of people with the frame of mind, okay, I got five houses, I'm going to sell one, and I'm going to take it among the brethren. The brethren needs to be gathering. Their mind needs to be purged. Their conscience, which is holding a lot of them prisonated, because they're so scared. If I share, I'm going to lose everything. You're not going to lose everything if you put into a system. You've been putting into this American system all your life. All your life. You haven't got no farther than you thought you would be by now. But think about you and a group of people, like-minded, moving toward the common good of everybody. What I want for my family and the best of my family, I want it for everybody's family. How about spreading that kind of information? Instead of talking about, I'm going to be like Houdini. And Houdini was on a pinnacle by himself. He had all the riches. But who did he share anything with? Well, these people here that followed Jesus here in the book of Acts, because of their unity was so strong, they was powerful politically, and they weren't even trying to be in the political arena. They had stuff sewed together. They had their own system. They had their own housing. They had their own marketing. Because the people that had sheep and the people that had goats and all this kind of stuff, they made sure that everybody could eat. It was the concern of this community that everybody would have. They weren't playing the game have and have nots. They weren't playing that game. They weren't looking I want to be with the little knit. I want to be with the aristocrats. I don't want to be around the poor. Blah, blah, blah. Well, look, if the poor irritate you, you got plenty. Eradicate the poor. Eradicate poverty. If poverty bothers you, you're so rich and you are in a nation of people. Eradicate the poverty with some of your riches. I'm not saying you got to give all the things that you got. Jesus did not say that right here. He said they had lands with an S. It was plural. He said they had houses with an S. It was plural. And the Bible says they took it because they had an unselfish love, took all that they possessed, took the things, broke it down, said, okay, this we're going to give to the church. All of them had the same thing in mind. Then the Bible declares right here that there was none of them that was poor. And the apostles could give a good witness. And the Bible say great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. This means that everybody in the multitude, they was living a life of abundance. Okay?
Okay.
All this group right here was moving on the system of God. So when people say, I'm living for God, then you're talking about a person that's an unselfish person. Because God, living for God, has brought them to the pinnacle of knowing all things is mine. Remember, you ain't got to scuffle with people. You ain't got to fight with systems. You ain't got to fight with the clans. You ain't got to fight with the police. You can allow the Spirit of God to change things. And I guarantee you, if you put it in God's hand and a group of you all together with the same frame of mind, something going to happen. You notice the passage of Scripture above the 32nd verse, it said they were all in one place. And they were all together. They was assembled together. See, our people are afraid to come together because of the haves and have-nots. Jabs, you know? That ain't nothing but jabs.
That ain't brought us nothing,
period. All it brought us is competition. Well, let me start right there. Because when you go to an agnostic university, the professors teach you how to be competitive. To the people that are across the street from you, to the business next door to you, not complete, but to compete. Well, that's the wrong mentality. You don't need to compete. You need to learn what completing is. If I got plenty and my neighbor got a store down the street, it ain't for me to run him out of business.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me to walk down there and say, how can I help you with some that I have? You know? One heart, one heart, and one soul. And neither was them that liked. And look what they've done. They were so generous, and the apostles were saved back then. They didn't have, I need y'all to bring me my money so I can get a Rolls Royce and I ain't steady what y'all drive. They didn't have that attitude. I need y'all to be a mere mansion, but y'all live in a shack. But y'all supposed to be a mere mansion because I'm a man of God. Well, if the man of God's supposed to have a mansion, then the children of God's supposed to live in the mansion too. Now, they said, well, we just got enough to pay for one. Yeah, if you just got one person in mind. But if everybody put everybody in mind, you'll continuously build that everybody have. Amen.
Right.
Now,
right.
Our situation today is we don't want to love who we are because of history. But Jesus didn't call us to history. He called us to be a living, lively hope to him. Not to history. History died as the days turned. Amen. Some people say, well, why you say that? We live off history. That's the problem. That's the reason why the country is in, I think about 27 or $30 trillion in debt because of history. Everybody want to practice what Eisenhower done. Everybody want to practice what Lincoln done. Everybody want to practice what so-and-so done. And all of these people that's supposed to have done so much great stuff, how come the country that y'all been practicing their ways, why is there no more unity than what it is? How come we got a $30 trillion deficit here in the country? Everybody's talking about how smart they are on Pennsylvania Avenue. Everybody's talking about how smart the leaders, the legislators, and how smart the professors here at Yale and Hillman, Cheney, all of these agnostic universities. And still the country is in the shape that it's in. Mm-hmm. They're producing doctors, masters, bachelors, BDs, all kind of degrees every single day. That was the way it would be a different set we would be seeing right now. But they got into separatism. They got into the principle that you're black, you came off the ship, so you're not equal to the white people that ran from England after they were lawbreakers here in the United States of America. You ain't equal with them. You came from the Ivory Coast. Your people had plenty. They took you on a slave trade because the king fought the other. They didn't have no unity in Africa. They were fighting tribal wars. So kings was taking over kings' possession. And after they carried their possession, their people or whatever it was, back to their place, and it became a deficit, they called over here and said, let's trade, man. I got some people I'll trade you for commodities. I got some people I'll trade you for commodities. And so these people over in the Western Hemisphere and the Portuguese and so forth, they said, okay, we got all this land that's got to be cultivated. Let's go get a shipload of them, and let's bring them back over here, and let's put a system together where we can get them to operate to know that they are beneath everything that's our color.
Isn't that something?
And we're talking about we are building our history. Well, one heart and one soul, Jesus is calling the saints for. He's not calling us for a system, but he's calling us for an actual lifestyle. And this lifestyle that they have, look to me, I haven't read in no history book a lifestyle so beautiful than this lifestyle right here. Because there weren't no poor people.
Right.
History tells me all about poverty. History tells me all about the disparity in the black neighborhoods all over the country, in the people of, let me not just say black, but in the low and moderate income people. The history tells me about disparity from years and years, the wealth gap between the blacks and between the whites and all of this kind of thing. And tells me how, history tells me nothing but bad things and tells me how, and they're still trying to fix problems of history right today. Well, we got a problem solver. And the system is right here. Take some of what you have and be a blessing to somebody else. You can solve the problem. If you live in a neighborhood and you got a house on your neighborhood and those people are not fair sumptuously and they don't have what they need as you have what you need and you have what you need and over enough, then get out of your pride and walk down there and see, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Can I share some of the knowledge that have brought me to this successful place that God has brought me to? What's wrong with that? I remember one time, people of God used to be concerned about each other. Church folks was concerned about each other. If they had cattle, if they killed a cow, they made sure everybody around them, not just their household, but the other households, the other people, had some meat. Because they would go and ask, y'all got a need? Yeah, we got. Okay, I got a shoulder over here y'all can have. Well, that helped their family along until their monies came in. Well, all of these brilliant-minded people that are around us today who have been to all these schools with economic degrees and so on and as such, how come they haven't put in a plan for people with low and moderate income people to have money to suffice them as they go from day to day? They're not concerned. So they're not 101 souls. So we the people of God who say we love God and been filled with the Holy Ghost and got the fire. We got the revelation. You should be able to see this. If you know revelation, if you can see revelation in the spirit of God, then you ought to be able to see Acts 32 down to 37. And I'm going to be able to teach it. To me, the preachers ought to start teaching this and shouldn't stop until they see better in their churches. Tearing up.
Right, unification. Right.
Without unity, there would be no uprise. But with unity together, we can do anything. And God loves unity. He said, how good and how pleasant it is to see brethren dwelling together in unity. When he told us to take on his holy and perfect and righteous character, if we take on that personality, his character, because he made us in his image, all things are ours. Look, if you're really devout, or if you're really devoted to God, and you really spend time in intimacy with God, after a while, you'll find out when you start thinking things, it'll come into existence. People of God, you know, you holler that scripture all the time. Call those things that are not as though they were. Well, think about a group of people with that attitude. We don't call that thing as though it was here in existence. And after a while, the unity of y'all mind together bring that thing into existence. Then when you bring that into this, put the unity back. Let the unity of the Spirit of God work for you. Jesus told you. He said he's going to lead thee and guide thee into all truth. You're not the slave that came over on the ship. Get that out of your head. Stop passing that on to generation after generation. You're a slave. These people ain't been no slave. They ain't never been in the hull of a ship. Some of them ain't never worn stackers. Some of them never took a ride through the middle of the passage. They ain't never been on a cruise ship. So let alone talking about in the hull of a ship coming through the middle passage, hauling people for sale. And then tell the truth what happened, the reason why that happened. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. They did that not because your ancestors in Africa were slaves. That's not the reason for slavery. All slaves were not born in Africa slaves. Some of them were prisoners of war. Like right now, all the people in prison, they are ward of the states. So the states can do whatever they want to do with them. If they want to pack them up and send them to Afghanistan, or anyway, if they want to put the prisoners with wheels that they float on the water, they can do it right now because they are prisoners of the state. Well, the slaves that came from Africa was prisoners of war. The kings had won wars, and now the deficit is too great. We got to sell these people that we brought as prisoners. Well, they could do it. You understand what I'm saying? So stop passing down slavery to our children and pass down image of God. Instead of slavery, you were born in the image of God. Now, if you put them in the image of God, then teach them to read about God. Teach them to understand what God is and the principles of God and what he desires for their lives. We'll see a difference in our community. Our kids are running around here killing one another because they think they're Al Capone. They think they're supposed to take on the characters of the TV stars and the characters of all of those people that have escalated to a pinnacle of success. And some of this stuff is nothing but make-believe. We make TV. We put stories together to make TV. TV is not a thing that you could put your finger upon and say, this is my lifestyle because Al Capone was a gangster. I'm going to be a gangster. I'm going to rule the streets and go out in the streets and get killed the next day because you don't know nothing about the street. So we got to teach our – we got to stop talking about how bad they're doing because it's their history that they're following. So that's why they're so mixed up. It's the history that's being taught. And the history is being taught without God being the main ideal. They got them as slaves. So in their mind, we ain't no good. They come up, we ain't no good. All my black ancestors, they weren't no good. All these black folks that exist in America, they ain't no good because they come from slaves. No matter how many degrees you get, you still looked at as a slave. And your people have developed that concept. Well, see, that's not the truth. That's just the truth of the slave masters. That's the system they put in place for the people coming off the ship. And now, with no unity, we start acting like people who have no sense. We're killing kids. We're killing old people. Just kill. The Bible says, nowhere in this Bible tell us to murder and kill one another. But in the history book, in history, it talks about it. You know, the Klansmen, they started killing people time ago. Some of our young people got the spirit of Klansmen because all they running around doing is murdering one another. Because anybody telling the truth, everybody talking about, well, if I tell the truth, I'm going to rock the boat. What boat? The boat crashed a long time ago. It ain't no boat. Everybody's drowning. Amen. Everybody's drowning. Everybody trying to outdo everybody. Have and the have nots. Where in the world did that come from? Everybody needs. Ain't no such a thing as one group can have and another group can't have. If they do, they're going to starve to death. They're going to die of libation.
True.
So now, so where are we? What, stop. Let's all figure this out. Where are we right now in America as people of color? Where are we? Now we spend a lifetime. We spend a lifetime talking about equality. If I can move in the neighborhood with my white cousins, if I could drive the car like my white cousins, if I could have just a percent of the money of my white cousin, everything, if I can be like them. But that's what God created us for. They are good for what they are for. We are good for what we are for. The other nations of people are good for what they are for. So when we come together, we all can make something happen. Listen, it's no one race that runs America. It's impossible. And if it was, we wouldn't have a $30 trillion deficit. If all the people that we talk about, the aristocrats on top, making it happen for us down here, we wouldn't have the deficit we would have. We wouldn't have poverty everywhere like we got it. But here, right here, in this Bible right here, that it took them 1,500 years to write 66 books, it tells us here in Acts 4 and 32, there was none among them that liked. Distribution was made to them as they had need. You can get what you need, and you can build from there. If you get what you need, you can build from there. You can build a pinnacle of success.
Right.
If you get what you need, but you first got to be taught when you get what you need how to handle what you need when you get it. One heart and one soul. They had leaders. They had apostles who were true to God, spent time with God, prayed to God, fasted for God, pushed aside all of the fleshly lusts so that they could lead these people in this kind of way. And they were so respected until the politicians and the kings gave them homage, wouldn't make decisions without consulting the apostles. Why? Because this community of people had the power. Unity brings about power. Unity brings about change. Unity brings about a different language that everybody can understand. Unity brings discipline. Unity brings love. Unity captivates and conquers because they're together. Remember, the multitude of them that believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus were of one heart and one soul. So you can't tell me you're jealous and envy of me and you love Jesus. I don't believe it. You cannot tell me you despise me and love Jesus because I'm black. Now you don't. No. Whatever deficiency I had, Jesus died for it. So you ain't got no right to dislike me. But you do have a responsibility to love me. You got that. If you love Jesus,
that's right.
You got a responsibility to love me and treat me right. The Bible says, for the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Ain't no need of you marrying nobody that's not one with you. Because you're going to have a problem. I don't care how you try to fix it. I don't care how you try to placate it. I don't care how you try to sugarcoat it and smooth it over to see if it's going to be right. It ain't going to be right unless you're one. Because one can't be broken. See, it takes two halves to make a whole. And when those two halves come together, that one is whole. You can't tear it apart. But if you just got two halves trying to operate with knowledge, they can be pulled apart. Now, what am I saying? Adam and Eve was in the garden. They had good unity. They was in a perfect state of mind. But once they left the unity, then fall came. Sin came. Everything bad started happening. Death came. All this kind of thing. If we stay in unity, then we operate in perfection as far as God is concerned. Because we operate in his likeness. He said we're making them in our image, in our likeness. The Godhead spiritual arrangement is together. He wants us to be together. Mm-hmm. Because that moves him when he looks down and see us operating together in the way that he wants us to operate, in love, in joy, in peace, in tolerance, and long-suffering with one another. That moves God. Mm-hmm. And then that make him do wonderful things for us. Can you imagine we making God happy down here, what he would do for us all as a nation of people?
That's right.
Some people say, well, they said, Reverend Ron, that'll never happen. Well, you're lying. The truth ain't in you. It's going to happen because God said it would happen. Amen.
That's right.
And all the people that say unity can't happen among black people, they need to get saved. I hear it coming from preachers. I hear it coming from evangelists. I hear it coming from missionaries talking about, no, they ain't going to never come together. They ain't going to never do nothing. We can't do. We can't work together. Man, those people need to sit down and get out of the pulpit. Well, because Jesus said, that's what love does. Love brings us together.
Mm-hmm.
And love is God.
Mm.
Now, the multitude that believe, they were one heart and one soul. They weren't part of the whole history that the world teaches, but they were part of the rich heritage that Jesus left for us. He said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So African-American people, Asian people, white people, every other person, the Yanks, come together and let's see what we can do in this nation. Let's see can we conquer terrible deficits that history and one set of people have caused.
Come on.
Everybody looking up to them and say, well, they just, they ain't did nothing but made a mess. Just look at it. Everybody need everybody.
Mm-hmm.
People need people. It's clear. And if they'd have been working together a long time ago, the deficit would be as it is. Because you got some real intelligent people of color, you got some real intelligent white people that love God. Let them people rule. And let the demons that want it be haves and have not prejudice. And let them move out the way and get saved somewhere. Notice I didn't say cast them to hell. I said let's get them saved so they can really be a benefit
to
who we are in the United States of America. The believers, the people that say they're Jesus people. You know, I'm looking at all those people, and they say, well, we believe we're standing for God in the insurrection at the Capitol. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Sure was.
God ain't told nobody to go out and kill folk and all this kind of stuff. That's the devil. For the Bible says the devil comes up to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Unity is what's going to bring us to the point of success. And you'll have grief in your eyes, people of color, as long as you look toward the agnostic world for joy, for peace, for togetherness. It's not there. It's not going to be there. You can start from 1968. You can start from 1963. You can start from 1965. You can go back to 1912. You can go back to 1929. You can go back to 1939, 1945, 1948. You can go all the way around the globe and all of the great events that have happened. No unity was brought out of it. Misery, scholar, decay, and desolation. And we sitting up watching children get killed, murdered, murdering one another, and nobody would stand up and say anything to the cause, why are you doing that? Nobody have the test-tackling fortitude to stand up and declare what you're doing is wrong. It's a test. Tackle it. If you got all the education in the world, tackle the test and make a change. But if you can't tackle the test, go somewhere and learn something. And then come understand what unity is all about. Unity is not about haves and have not. It's not about me having a degree and you not having none, you nobody and I'm somebody. That's not God. That's bondage. That's what it is. So
Huh.
Here it tells us, the believers, them that speak in tongues, them that prophesy, those that say I'm apostle, those that say I'm bishop, those that say I'm pastor, if you ain't doing unity, you full of jive. That's what you for. If you're not doing unity, if you're not unifying people, you are about the agnostic world, and you might as well join them because there's a waiting place for you. God wants us to unify before he returns. He wants to see us walk in his power, his love, his mercy, and have love and mercy upon one another. The multitude of them that believe. If you ever look at somebody, Sister Inez, and they tell you a believer, but they're a hater, and you watch them hate, just know they are not a part of the multitude that believe. I don't care who they
are. That's right.
Just let them know right off the bat, nah, this ain't right. And the Bible says, the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. That's what I have to say.
All right now.
Amen. That's my message for today. And don't y'all.
What do you say? One heart, one soul.
One heart and one soul. Hey, and I want the people to know. Don't be afraid. Y'all gonna hear me hum and tune up. Don't worry. But that comes by the utterance of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's just need teaching to get people on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
When you get taught and you're on the right track and you're together and you're in unity, you'll really enjoy a hum. Amen.
Okay. Come on now. All right, Mr. Bobby Bluebang. Come on now.
Hey, it's funny you say that, Bobby. Bobby Bluebang is one of my favorite singers, sis.
You sound like him. You know, one heart, one soul. You probably are his heart and his soul right now.
I tell you one thing. I sure would love to have his band.
Okay. Let me see if I can't work that out for you when you can get together.
Don't do it.
We're going to have You don't know what the Lord may use me for to do. We're going to have prayer and a song and an invitation to discipleship. You'll be on another level then. You see, can't touch me, huh?
No, I won't do that. I'll be opening the gate for everybody else. You know.
Okay, the floodgates of heaven, huh? I like that song too. I think it's open the floodgates of heaven or something like that. I think it was the name of the song.
I like this song.
Yeah.
And I hope you all were blessed today. I hope you all were blessed by this prayer. I really do. And I hope it resonates in your minds and in your hearts. Go back and revisit that scripture, that passage of scripture, Acts 4 and 32-39, and let it bless you all over again. It will give you a different perspective on loving one another. Amen.
Amen. We'll have prayer, and then we'll have a song. Go ahead, Reverend Ronnie.
Father, in the name of Jesus, let this passage of scripture, this word, Lord, let it resonate. Mm-hmm. Send forth your spirit like you did in creation and create this oneness in the heart of thy people everywhere, whatever color they are, Lord. Let this oneness that you're talking about here, of this unselfish love, let it come into their minds, into their hearts, and then let your spirit, give them that new creature. The Bible says when we come to Jesus, we become a new creature. Lord, let the new creature resonate. Let it live in the hearts of thy people everywhere in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind all the powers of darkness, rob, kill, steal, and destroy. We bind in the name of Jesus. And we loose all the powers of heaven, love, peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And then give us, Lord, to abase our spirit that we may follow your spirit. Clear our conscience from history, dead works, and bring us to be a lively stone in you, in the name of Jesus. Lord, transform our
minds.
Change the appearance of our conscience. Change, erase the data in our minds, Lord, to keep us imprisoned to the past, in the name of Jesus. And then clear our conscience, Lord, and then allow your spirit to bring into existence the things that you desire, God, as our creator, who made us in your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Song, Give Jesus Your Heart. Then after we have that song, we'll open up the doors, the invitation to Christian discipleship. And I'm going to probably open up the line, so if you need prayer, please call us at 845-241-9985, or if you want to give your life to Christ as well, the same telephone number, 845-241-9985. So as I play this song, you're more than welcome to call in to give your life to Christ or if you need to be prayed for. Give them your heart. Now we'll have the invitation to discipleship.
Now, if you are going down a dead-end road and you don't know your next step, come to Jesus. If you don't have direction, of what life should be and how you should live it comes to you today. If you've been buried down in a stage of parvisticism until it seems like you can't get up, come to Jesus. If you are down on your sick bed and you can't move around, you're not mobile, and you need to take care of your business and there's no one for you there, come to Jesus. Don't dribble away in despair. Come to Jesus. For he says, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you away. Wherever you are, wherever stage in life, wherever you think you are, and you don't have joy, come to Jesus. If your marriage is falling apart, if your love life is gone haywire, if all the children are acting strange, the dog and cat messed up, come on to Jesus and let him fix it for you. Because he can do it. He said he could do all things. He told the disciples in the 28th chapter of Matthew. He said, all power over heaven and earth is in my hand. So now you need to come to Jesus. We know that none of the leaders in history had all power. None of the leaders that exist now have got all power. But Jesus said, I have all power. And Jesus is not dead. He's still working on your behalf. The Bible says he's subduing the enemies of God. So he's still at work right now. And he's taking time today through me, telling you, come on to him. And all you got to do is confess your faults one to another. Confess the wrongs that you've done to yourself and others, and let the Lord do a new thing in your heart and in your life, wherever you are, whatever stage you're in life. If you're in the back streets, if you're in the alley crying, if you're in a tent on the street, come to Jesus and let him make a difference in your life. The doors are open. Been open for a long time now. Maybe you've been walking past in a hurry. Stop and slow down and go inside the open door. And when you get inside of the open door, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn about who you are and who you were sent here on the earth to be. But you can't be in a hurry and go past the door. Come on in. Come on in. Give Jesus your heart right now. The world ain't working for you. It ain't working for none of us. Let me be honest with you. Come on to Jesus and let him fix it and let him make you a new creature. And then watch and see, don't he take your frown and give you a smile. He's going to take away your sadness, and he's going to give you his gladness. He's going to take away all of your nights and dreads of night, and he's going to give you a beautiful, sunshiny day. God got it for you. All you got to do is come to him right now while you're alive.
All you got to do.
Amen.
As it says, while the blood is running warm in your veins. Yes, Lord.
While
thank
the blood
you,
is warm, you ain't cold. You ain't on the cooling board. You ain't got shot. You ain't got murdered.
No.
You ain't got locked up in no penitentiary. You're free. Come on to Jesus while you're free. Give him all Give him all of you. Forget the world. Give him all of you. Don't search for the party.
Yeah.
Search for service. And if y'all come and do that, God will make a difference in your life. Solely up
845-241-9985. Amen.
Amen. If you need to talk, and you ain't got nobody to talk to, we'll be here for a few minutes. Call us. Let us give you some answers. Let us give you some guidance from the Word of God. If your business is not going right, maybe you're not giving what you should give to the church. Or maybe not just to the church. Maybe you should be giving more in your neighborhood. Sometimes to make your business grow, you gotta give a little bit. Some people say, well, I ain't got but a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can take a little something from a little you got, it'll make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. A little something of what you have will make a difference in somebody's life. As you notice what we just
better
heard
than nothing.
They gave what they had of what they had to make a strong, powerful community. People of color, let us start giving of what we have. Wherever you are, you can be re-educated today. You ain't got to wait till tomorrow.
Amen.
You can come to Jesus now. This university doors never close, and the professor never sleeps. You can call him 24 hours a day. anytime.
Amen.
Jesus won't say no to you. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, wherever you are.
Amen.
If you got cancer,
amen.
If you got COVID, if you got high blood pressure, if you got diabetes, if you got any kind of disease, call us and let's pray for you. And let's see, don't the great grace of God give you a healing. But you got to pick up the phone. You got to call.
Amen.
You got to want this life. You got to want it. If you want wealth,
there you go.
If you want wealth untold, guess what? God got it
mm-hmm.
for you. Remember, God said, I own the world and the fullness thereof and they that dwell
and
therein. All you got to do is come to it.
That's right. That's right. That's all
I
you got to do.
There. I see you there. There's a person there. And you're sitting trying to figure out what's going on with you, with your life. Don't try to figure it out. Come on to Jesus and let him figure it out. See, that's your problem. That's your biggest problem. You've been holding back from coming to Jesus. Come on. I urge you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hand spiritually stretched out for you to come
all right.
to Jesus.
Stretched out.
Amen. I'll walk down the aisle with you spiritually with strength, faith, testing your faith with mine. Come on to Jesus and let him fix it. Lady, you ain't got to be sitting up worrying about how you're going to feed those children. Come to Jesus. He's going to make provision
mm-hmm.
for you. Remember the woman that didn't
That's
have
right.
nothing and her and her son was going to eat out of their barrel and they were going to die the next day? Well,
mm-hmm.
what happened? When they
mm-hmm.
did what the man of God said to them, the Bible said he told them, say, fix me a cake. She said, we ain't got nothing but this little bread. What you talking about? Me and my son going to eat this
That's
tomorrow. We're going to die. But he told us, and I'll do as I told
mm.
you, and you'll eat many days. So I'm telling you now, if your barrels
mm.
are running
mm-hmm.
low, come to Jesus. You ain't got to figure out how you're going to sell your body or you make some crazy thing and hurt yourself and others. But come on to Jesus. Let him fix it for you. Come try him. You'll try everything else.
Amen.
And what you've been stuck in for so many years, it ain't work. So come on, try something new. Try Jesus. And he'll make the difference
mm,
in your life,
mm, mm.
Wherever you are, wherever
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
Brothers, you ain't got to go steal nothing. You ain't got to go take nothing from nobody. You ain't got to practice lifestyle of Al Capone and Scarface. Those people didn't even like people of color. So you don't need to practice their lifestyle. Come on to Jesus. Come to him who will accept you, who will receive you, and who will make your life a better life. Come on. You want to come, but you're afraid to come. Don't be afraid. The Bible says the fearful and unbelievers shall not enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Come on to him. Let him do something for your life.
Fear not. Amen. Amen. And nobody's called in, so we'll now have the benediction.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the service.
Yes.
Lord, if they didn't come now, let them think about it. Let it resonate in their heart.
Yes.
There's no other place to come but to you in the name of Jesus. And if thou would do these things for us, bless us to be one. Bless us to be one in your image as you had made us. And watch everything astral. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Yes.
Amen.
This has been your hostess, Miss Inez, owner and fashion designer of Anais Aku Design, broadcasting to you worldwide, everybody all over the world. You have been listening to Sunday Service, where you can find this program and past episodes on the Let's Do It banner on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier out of Yakima, Washington. We want to thank our special guest speaker, Reverend Ronnie Marshall, associate pastor at Virginia Baptist Church in Wrightsville, Arkansas, for being with us today for sharing the word one heart and one soul, taken out of Acts 4:32-37. And thank you for joining us in today's service, as well as all of our Let's Do It Radio Sunday service listening audience. Do It All in the Mall, as I said before, is owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier out of Yakima, Washington, and that's been in business for over 13 years, and it's a secure 24/7 online shopping mall providing over 5,000 of your favorite stores, as well as stores you may not even be familiar with. You can shop for anything you need and find great listening pleasure, all in the comfort of wherever you may be. The religious section has all of your religious items, such as Bibles in all languages, religious charms, T-shirts and gift shops, and memorial shops, with more shops coming. We would love to put your religious products in the mall. From the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, you can complete a contact us form, fill in the information, and just go ahead and send us. And as you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up, and the commission is earned on qualified purchases. So we need you to help us to build that commission, which goes back into your community where your money matters. And you can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference worldwide. Make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Tour the website while listening to the service. And we can't do this, of course, without you. So we need you. We want you. We've got to have you. So please, please, please go to the mall and shop. Donations are welcome as well by clicking the donation button on the homepage of, again, Do It All in the Mall. You start at doitallinthemall.com. You finish at doitallinthemall.com. And the call-in number is 845-241-9985 during our shows Tuesdays through Fridays, and listening as you did today on Sundays from 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we have alternating Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and now on Fridays. And we have a special guest coming in on Fridays. And that time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. Starting April 30th, yes, this Friday, Late Night with Lee Alston. He's a Gullah Soul music artist, internationally known and talented musician who plays soul, jazz, spiritual, and, yes, spoken word. And he does all of his tracks and all of his own music. So please join in with us on Friday. Again, 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And on Sundays, you join in. And we have our guest speakers. First Sunday, Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Second Sundays, Dr. Ralph Steele. Third Sundays, Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Fourth Sundays, as you heard today, Reverend Ronnie Marshall. And fifth Sundays, Reverend Heather Lynn Andrews Watkins. So please share this information with your church members. Wouldn't you like to share this with everybody you know on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, anything you come across of social? Share it. Telegram, tell a ma'am, tell everybody. Spread the word. Go ahead. The bigger the crowd, the broader the spectrum. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you again for listening to Let's Do a Radio. Do It All in the Mall. We pray you receive something uplifting from today's service. One heart and one soul. Excuse me. Taken again from Acts 4:32-37. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you for Reverend Ronnie Marshall, as I call him, the Bobby Blue Bland of gospel, as he was giggling earlier. So please be blessed, stay blessed until we meet again. And we're going to close out on a song, but we only have a few seconds left. And so we want to thank you again for listening, tuning in, and join us on Tuesday as Janet Schwartz talks about Black Wall Street, the massacre of Tulsa. And that time is 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you again. Be blessed. And can we get an amen? Amen and amen again. Be well, stay safe, and God bless you. Amen.